Well, the bad news just keeps rolling on for Medibank customers, doesn't it? Medibank says it's aware that another file has been released on the internet overnight containing stolen customer data. The health insurer's online database was breached last month, and a ransomware group began releasing data yesterday after Medibank refused to pay any money. Cybercriminals acted on the threat to release this sensitive health data and other information like phone numbers and addresses of Medibank customers, and they published them under so-called good list and naughty list. The Australian Federal Police are working with other agencies to scour the internet and known criminal online sites to find those who are buying or selling personal data on the dark web. But what is the dark web? And what can you do to protect yourself if you're a victim of this? Stilgarian is a cyber expert and joins me now. Hi, Stilgarian.
Good morning, Simon.
Look, how scary is this for Medibank customers?
Look, it's a bit of a big one. The kind of data that's been stolen and may soon be available is dangerous in two ways. One, there's all of the identification stuff, name, address, phone number, date of birth, driver's license number, and so on, which could allow criminals to create a false identity, take out credit in your name, and so on and so forth. And, you know, obviously that's not good because you may end up wearing the debt or have problems. The other one, though, is now that we're releasing medical records, and particularly this so-called naughty list, that could contain data that you don't want out there and might make you subject to blackmail. If you've had treatment for drug addiction, if you've had an abortion that your partner doesn't know about, that you've had sort of psychiatric care in the past, which you don't want your current employer to know about, even though, you know, they shouldn't have a problem with that. The reality is they might.
There's a lot of stigma.
And so on. So it's a worry, particularly as this does seem to be 9.7 million records. It does seem to be everyone who's a Medibank customer.
Now, it's been released on the dark web. Stilgarian, you're an internet and dark web expert. So what is it? What is the dark web?
I wouldn't go as far as to say I'm an expert on it, but the dark web is essentially the bits of the web that don't want to be found. Now, here's an analogy. We all probably knew back in the day that there was a bloke called Brian, and if you met him at the back of the car park at the Pig and Whistle pub after 10 o'clock on a Thursday night, you might be able to buy some things. Right?
Some things that
may or may not have heard of someone like that, right?
Have fallen off the back of a truck.
Yeah, stuff that fell off the back of a truck. This is just that, but the web. And the way it's not found is that instead of just putting a website up directly and allowing it to be indexed by Google and the other search engines and so on, it hides away behind a specific internet browser called Tor, T-O-R, and that browser, rather than just connecting you to the website, bounces your connection all over the internet, jump after jump after jump, country to country, so it's hard to trace. Mm. And so when you see in the movies where they say, keep the connection up, we're tracing it back, and you see, you know, the big map on the wall and the line is going to France and then to Peru and then to whatever, it's sort of like that. Except then the next time you hit the page, it'll take a different path. That's all. Once you get there, it's just websites. There are buy and sell websites just like eBay or Gumtree. There are forums where you can discuss things. There's even, if you like, a dark web equivalent to Facebook where the criminals can socialize. It really is just that. It's not magical. It's just the bloke at the back of the car park on a Thursday night, but on a global scale.
And do the police know where, how to find Brian, or is he clever enough to be behind a different bar every time?
There's a bit of that, and that's what the Tor browser has done with bouncing that correct connection around, because Brian is also setting up his website there using that same technology. So he could be anywhere on the internet in any country. And again, this is just bouncing and connecting through this Tor browser system, and it's hard to trace. So if the cops want to find Brian, it's usually a matter of infiltrating. It's putting in the undercover cop In fact, that the analogy holds up quite well. They have to start using old-fashioned methods to track down the crims. That said, there are some very, very sophisticated technical means that might make it possible, but, you know, that's uncertain.
Now, would there be – would Brian be able to find – I love that we've named the hackers now. Thank you, Steelgarian.
Brian the hacker. It's probably more likely to be, you know, Vladimir or something, but – we'll stay with Brian.
Exactly. Would Brian, you know, be trying to sell this data, or was it just pure extortion?
Possibly both. I mean, the first stage is, sure, try and get money out of where the data came from. And in this case, the asking price is $10 million US dollars, discounted to $9.7 million because there's only 9.7 million records, which is, you know, a lovely little discount. But, yeah, the other part of the game is selling on the data. And you never know, of course, if you pay the ransom, whether they're going to delete the data or sell it on it anyway, regardless. But this is, again, saleable data. As I say, you can use it to create new identities. You can use it for blackmail. It's valuable stuff.
And, you know, if you suspect you may have been a victim of this, is there a way to find out? Should we be going onto the dark net ourselves to see if our data is there, or kind of waiting for Medibank to let us know?
There's not a lot of point going on the dark web looking for it. We've only seen a sample of the data made available, just enough so that Brian can say to Medibank, see, this is real. Here's 100 records from the data we've got. Check against your originals and you'll see it's legit. So you probably won't find it, at least not initially. You will find out eventually when Medibank fesses up and contacts everyone, although at this stage, given the numbers involved, it does kind of sound a bit like everyone's data, every customer of Medibank. We don't know for sure, but to me it feels like that. So you will be notified eventually. The thing to really watch out for is anything at all suspicious. Now, I know we say look out for suspicious transactions, but also just kind of pay attention to any phone calls that come in asking you just to, you know, double check your address or look, it's Medibank here, just checking that. I mean, Medibank's not going to phone you. that is not going to happen. Nor if you get an SMS that says, oh, you know, we have your data, pay us for money, that's not going to be legit either at this stage. It may be down the track. We've already seen in the case of the Optus data, that lad who did try that on and SMS people to say, we've got your data, send us $2,000. That particular brain genius then put his little brother's bank account details there, like an actual Commonwealth Bank account. So that was kind of easy to trace.
Now, Steelgarian, the privacy regulator's latest notifiable data breach report reveals Australian businesses are facing a deluge of cybersecurity attacks exposing personal information. Well, look, what do we do about this in terms of the bigger picture? How do we prevent this more or protect ourselves more?
We're going to need more technology in terms of identifying people online. And the answer is not, I think, we've got the digital ministers around Australia, like Dominello here in New South Wales and the others, talking about creating, oh, we need strong biometric ID and whatever. That's kind of a bigger long-term plan. Really, we need to make the individual things like your driver's license number useless. Even if someone else has it, it's useless. And a lot of your listeners I know will have got the digital driver's license on the Service NSW app. Now, you can show that to someone and they can use their app to verify it and say, yes, that's you in the photo, but they don't get your driver's license number. And even if they did, it's useless without, if you like, the app to say, and here it is, me who's logged into my phone and showing it to you. So that's legitimate. There's kind of a school of thought which suggests that that might be the kind of way to go, that even if someone has the number, so what? And we already have that if people use Apple Pay or Google Pay or Samsung Pay on their mobile phone, they're already using that technology. They're not giving their credit card to the shop. They're just using the app on their phone to say that, yeah, this is all legit, we'll connect you up. And both sides are protected. So we can't solve it overnight. There is technology, however, to make things better. The banks are very good at noticing dodgy credit card transactions. For example, have got a phone call from the bank straight after someone tried to use my credit card number at a hotel in New York. The bank knew I wasn't in New York because the app is on my phone and telling them I'm sitting here at home. I'm certainly not in New York, and I certainly can't have gone from Australia to New York in half an hour. So that kind of thing, you're kind of okay. And just quite frankly, if you're a consumer and it's a credit card, the bank has to cover the money anyway.
Yeah, there is that. So we do have the technology. We do have ways where we need to stop this kind of thing happening more. Still, Geraint, great to get your perspective on this and expertise. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Simon. Anytime.
Technology expert, Still Geraint there.